Hi, my name is Terry Whalen, and I'd like to welcome you to this call this afternoon. I'm very excited to have this opportunity to be talking to our Christian marketing expert, Sally Stewart. If you don't know about me, I'm a publisher at Intermedia Publishing Group, and I've written about 60 books over the years for a lot of different publishers. But I'm delighted this afternoon to have Sally Stewart with us to give us the inside scoop about writing for the Christian market. Sally, I used to say Aloha, Oregon, but now I don't see that anymore. I guess Tigert, Oregon. Is that right? Is that how you say that, Sally?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Has been writing for years, full-time, for the last 27. She has also put out 26 editions of the Christian Writer's Market Guide, the only market guide that specifically targets the Christian market. In addition, she has published a dozen other books and countless articles and columns. As a marketing columnist for the Christian Communicator, the Advanced Christian Writer, and the Oregon Christian Writer, she is considered the leading authority on the Christian market. She's in demand as a conference speaker nationwide. Sally is the mother of three and the grandmother of eight. Sally, welcome to the call.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, hey, I just got my Christian Writer's Market Guide. What do you suggest, Sally, that people do when they first pull their market guide out of the package there?
Well, I would say as soon as you have the opportunity or can make that opportunity, just sit down with it and spend some time. If you're new to the guide, it's really very logically laid out, but it takes a little time to sort of catch on to how it works. And even if you have been subscribing or getting the guide for a while, there's always some new things. And I suggest that you start with the introduction, because in the introduction I tend to let you know what any of the new features would be for the year, as well as how many new publications or publishers there are. Those kinds of new statistics that kind of catch you up with what's happening in the industry as well.
Yeah, that's terrific. And you know, I guess what I'd like to start here with is we've got a ton of questions. We've got like 100 questions, and I've tried to organize them into different categories here so we can sort of go in a progressive way. Is there anything you'd like to say about what's happened in the Christian market just in general here? I mean, you know, we're living in challenging economic times. You read it in the newspaper all the time and that kind of thing. What is that really doing to Christian magazines, Christian book publishers, all those different people that are writing for the Christian market? You're in touch with that kind of information probably more than anybody else out there.
Well, I think the changes are, we're seeing probably the greatest changes with periodicals, in that it's very difficult for periodicals to stay in business these days. We just tend not to subscribe like we used to all those magazines. And I was just checking before we went on the air here about how many periodicals either went out of business last year that I discovered in preparing the 2011 market guide, or how many went out of business or quit taking freelance. And there were actually 60 periodicals that fell into that category.
Wow.
And in the book, with the book publishers, they tend not to go out of business as quickly unless they're just a very small startup company, and those tend to have a poor track record until they really get going. But there were 27 book publishers that either went out of business, or primarily those that just quit taking freelance because they're not able to deal. A lot of times they just don't have the personnel to deal with those unsolicited manuscripts.
Wow, 27 publishers and 60 magazines. Now, I mean, you and I have been in this business a long time and understand some things about the magazine market that some people probably don't understand. What elements makes these publications go out of business? Because, I mean, I've written for a lot of magazines, Christian magazines that don't exist anymore, and I'm sure you have too. So,
Well, I think it comes down to the economical, that they are not getting the subscribers that they did, not getting the advertisers, because people aren't subscribing to the magazine, so the advertisers are not putting their money into it. And of course, a lot of Christian publications, they're sponsored by either denominations or Christian organizations, and those organizations are struggling economically as well, not getting the contributions and the funds coming in that they've had in the past. So it has kind of a long trail that leads back to why they end up going out of business. And what's happening with a lot of them, I'm seeing, is just from the progression from year to year, is that they tend to start first by cutting back the number of issues that they do, or the number of pages, or both, and then eventually they end up going online, which seems to be the most economical way for a magazine to continue. So that's kind of the process that they go through, I think.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. Now, I was reading today in the introduction, as a matter of fact, to the 26th issue here, the 2011 Christian Writers Market Guide. You were talking about how a lot of these magazines and publishers are just not even listing their fax numbers anymore. They're doing away with fax. They're even doing away with their addresses, is what you were saying.
Yes, a lot of them they don't want the phone numbers listed usually first, and then they don't want the fax numbers. And I think a lot of them are going from having the regular fax number to using the online faxes and that sort of thing. I guess generally it's making it a little bit more difficult for the author or writer to get in contact directly with those publications. But the majority of them now are dealing almost exclusively with email, both for subscriptions but submissions and also just the day-to-day correspondence with the writers that are writing for them.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me as I look at it. I can understand why they don't want their phone numbers in there. I mean, we would like to be able to phone up these people and get them on the phone, but a lot of times it's very difficult to get these editors and agents and different folks on the telephone, and particularly if you don't know who they are. In terms of general marketing things, Sally, what would you we have a lot of questions, people wondering where would you start if you were brand new? You've never written for the Christian Market before. Where do you suggest people start?
Well, I generally recommend that people go to a Christian Writers Conference. I think that's the best way to get the most information in the shortest amount of time, and to just sort of get a sense of what the whole industry is about. And that happens most easily, I think, even better than just reading books. It's having those contacts with other successful writers, editors, agents, just on a one-to-one basis. It makes a big difference in understanding how the whole process works.
Yeah, and you have a growing list of all different kinds of conferences and everything in the market guide that people can learn about them. Do you suggest they go to a big one or a little one, or what do you suggest in that area?
Well, I would suggest if you're a brand new writer to start with those conferences that focus on instruction. Conferences kind of tend into two groups. There's those that focus on instruction and will not probably have editors, or at least not many editors or agents there. But then once you get start getting some things written, and particularly if you have books, then it's a good idea to go to a bigger conference where there is a larger number of editors and agents, because it's those, as I said, those one-on-one contacts with those professionals that often makes a difference in whether you sell or don't sell. And a lot of these days, when we have publishers that say they're not accepting unsolicited manuscripts, many of those are sending editors to conferences looking for writers. So they're still looking for writers. It's just that they don't have the personnel usually, or the time and finances to deal with those unsolicited manuscripts. So they look for good potential writers at those conferences.
And there's there's a whole volume thing that goes on with those unsolicited manuscripts that people new to the business don't really understand, do they, Sally? So.
No, there are so many manuscripts that are out there circulating, and so it's very often, as I said, those personal contacts that sort of get you to the head of the line, because they just really want to know who you are and what you're all about, and being able to see them face to face, and very often have an appointment with them or a chance to talk to them over a meal. They really get a sense of who you are and what your vision is, and you know, what your mission is with what you're having to write. And very often they'll share that vision and look for opportunities to help you along. And sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, sometimes I think writers go to a conference and think, well, I'm going to meet an editor, an agent, and they're going to, you know, snatch me up and make me successful. But sometimes if you talk to writers, they may have run into that particular editor or agent two or three conferences over two or three or four years even before a book actually comes out, or even an article. Usually articles come more quickly, but with books it takes a great deal of patience to be a writer.
It does. And those are all things that people have to learn when they come to this business. But my sense is that with the Christian market, particularly because of our faith and being united around Christ, each one of these different entities, whether it's books or magazines or agents, they're all actively looking for quality material, wouldn't you say?
Yes, yeah, they are. And even though, does that say that they're not, you know, open to unsolicited material, are still needing those writers. I mean, they can't really function without writers to write the books. So they're always looking for people who have a good story to tell, or, either in fiction or nonfiction. So,
I mean, you get the idea sometimes if you get a stack of pink rejection slips or whatever color they are, that nobody wants my stuff. And that's really not true. That's not the message that particularly the editors and agents want to give to people.
Yeah, I think the thing that writers who fail, the reason they do fail is because they're simply not persistent enough. You know, if you really feel that the Lord has called you to write, then it's your job to write and to get it out there and to keep it going as long as you have someplace that's a potential market for that particular book or article or whatever it is. But because it is a little more difficult to get published these days, writers tend to give up much too easily. They think if they get one or two or three rejections, then their material must not be any good. But it's just a matter of finding the right place. I've used this analogy at conferences for years, but it's like if I told the ladies who are listening to go home and make a dress and go door to door trying to find somebody to buy that dress, that's not a very good way to sell dresses or manuscripts either. You really need to do your homework and make sure that you're submitting to appropriate places.
Now, by doing their homework, does that mean that they can just open up the market guide and go to something and then fire it off from there?
No, the topical listings in the market guide will direct them to potential markets for the particular type of book or article or story that they have. But each of those publishers puts out their own, for the most part, maybe a few exceptions, but the majority of them put out their own writer's guidelines, which can, of course, be much more detailed than what I have room for in the book. And I suggest that they read the listings, send for the guidelines. If it's a book, send for the catalog and kind of see where, if there's a spot in the catalog for what they have to offer. Or with magazines, get sample copies and read them cover to cover. Get more than one issue if you can, and try to find something that matches up. You want to, I've told writers, it's like we meet a lot of people in our day-to-day lives, and some of them we make an instant connection with and get along with great and maybe have lifelong friends, and others we may have a short conversation with and never see or speak to them again. So what you're looking for, the same way with publications, you want to find publications that match who you are, what your message is,